Number one means you're always on top. You're on the number one.
Coming up on this week's Naked Property Investor.
It's just about learning the best way to motivate people and keep moving and motivating yourself to keep moving forward and focusing on the end goal.
And also,
if you can hold on to what you've got at the moment without putting it out there to sell, I'm still going to put stuff on the market to sell. But the thing is, I'm not going to fire sell. So I've got a long duration where I can sell this stuff for like a year off the plan I've got.
Hi Gizzy, I'm Max Phelps, a money coach with Golden Eggs, and I'm also a professional property investor, collecting rent from 14 tenants and could have retired at 46. Also the author of the Amazon bestseller, Getting Your Money Shit Together. Now my biggest tip for any business owner looking to invest is to look at their ownership structure and get some accounting advice on whether the property should be held in a new family trust, an existing family trust, a company, or their own name. There'll be a balancing act between costs, tax rates, land tax, and asset protection that will vary from business to business. As a general rule of thumb, if there's any risk of litigation from our businesses, then we don't want the property in our own names. For more investment tips, mortgage advice, or money coaching, search for Max Phelps, that's P-H-E-L-P-S, on Amazon for my book, or visit goldeneggs.info. Thanks.
From the Property Investor Studios, welcome to the Naked Property Investor with your host, Kizzy Nkwacha.
Kizzy is the publisher of the Property Investor magazine, Money and Finance, and Business Game Changer. Kizzy is also the editor of the successful property investment book series and the founder of the Property Wall of Fame. Every week, Kizzy and his guests provide you with the vital tools you need to take your property business to the next level. Now, meet your host, your mentor, and the godfather of all things property, Kizzy Nkwacha.
Hello and welcome to the Naked Property Investor. My guest this week is Kavita Vipulananda, a trailblazing property investor, property developer, and coveted public speaker. Now, Kavita is also the author of the book Property in Stilettos. In just a few minutes, I'll be talking to Kavita to uncover her secrets for property investment success. Don't go away.
I'm Evan Maindonald, CEO of Melt Property.
I'm Andrew Ward. I'm the founder of Solomon New Homes.
I'm Kavita Vipulananda, and I'm the director and founder of Allura.
I'm Lloyd Edge from Oz Property Professionals.
I'm Sim Sekon, MD of Legal for Landlords, and you're listening to The Naked Property Investor.
Thanks for dropping in. This week, I'm in the studio talking to Kavita Vipulananda, a trailblazing property investor, property developer, and author of the book Property in Stilettos, The Savvy Woman's Guide to Building Wealth and Having It All. But before we introduce Kavita, I've just got time to remind you that the Property Investor is producing its annual showcase of the top 10 outstanding property specialists 2020. The showcase covers all disciplines from commercial and residential to design, finance, and property marketing. To be eligible for the award, the specialist must work in one of the following regions: the UK, Australia, or the US. For information about how to nominate yourself, a colleague, or a client for inclusion in the top 10 outstanding property specialists, email tpieditor@email.com. That email address one more time is tpieditor@email.com. Good luck. Well, job done. Kavita, it's great to have you join me.
Hi, Kizzy. How are you going?
Do you know what? It is such a pleasure to have you here. I've been looking forward to speaking to you for such a long time. I can't believe, actually, there's two of me because I'm actually beside myself with anticipation. That's how excited I am.
Thank you.
Tell us a bit more about you and your background. I've been told that your passion for helping people get into property in the right way stems from a personal family tragedy. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. So I, unfortunately, when I was actually living in the UK, I was born in the UK, even though I probably don't sound it. When I was traveling around the UK, so I moved over there probably about 12, I think it was about 12 years ago now. I unfortunately, when I was in Spain and I was traveling around Spain at the time, I got a very bad phone call from my sister to say my dad had passed away and he just had a sudden heart attack. So that sort of obviously impacted all of us very much. And so I flew back, I left all my belongings and I flew back home to Australia. And that sort of, I guess, I mean, it was a very hard situation, but it was through that that I got, I guess, my determination to help people out, because my father didn't have a will, and there's a bit of a long story behind it, but a lot of the family had to start again from and my dad had some wealth behind him, so it was really unfortunate that it worked out that way. So I guess what happened there is I was always sort of telling people that I knew, just to make sure their affairs were in order, because you just don't know what's going to happen in life, and whether you're young or old, you don't know. You know, you could be married, you could be single, you could have kids, and you just want to make sure that people in your life that you care about are, you know, that they're looked after if something were to happen to you. So that's where it came from, and I guess that's where all the determination to help other people came from as well, Kizzy. So
that's an incredible story. I'm just wondering to myself whether you would have benefited from the type of advice that you're offering now if somebody had been able to speak to you and your family all those years ago before your father passed away.
Oh, definitely. Definitely, because I don't think anyone really realises. Well, it was twofold, really. It was like if someone had talked to my father about it, you know, and he sort of planned his life accordingly and, you know, got himself a will and that sort of stuff. But it's also the repercussions later, and someone even talking through a situation where it's – so I've helped people that have come to me after, you know, something bad's happened, and just giving them advice on you know, how to tackle a situation. So it's never an easy situation, and I think that it makes it worse when there's money involved. And that's why with anything, like people do, you know, marriage, joint venture agreements, anything, like it's just really important to think of the worst case scenario and plan for that. And at the end of the day as well, like the thing that is above it all is that you can't, like money, you can always make money, but some of those relationships get ruined in the process when you don't have those sort of agreements in place. And that's the most probably important thing that you can't get back once sort of that damage is done. So that's why I sort of always tell people to get their affairs in order. Not just will, but, you know, even when you're getting married, just make sure you know where you're at, both of you financially. Be honest, know what you're investing in, get advice, talk to the right people. You know, success is not overnight, and, you know, build it gradually. And that's sort of where it all came from, I guess, because I sort of saw our family go from basically being pretty affluent to being not getting any of it, really, in comparison to what we should have. So, but like it's made me a better person out of it, because I've learnt and I've built stuff up myself, but just looking back, it could have been also avoided. So yeah,
I can understand the benefit of preparing ahead and making sure you mitigate risk as much as possible, but I'm wondering, why did you focus on property and property investment in particular as being a topic that you really, really wanted to specialize in and to help people with?
So I think because I just knew it really well. So my dad was a structural engineer, and he also was a property developer. And so I grew up a lot on construction sites, and I think he wanted a boy. So he bought me a train set for my first birthday, and I grew up with, I didn't really like dolls. I was given Lego. And I think for my third or fourth birthday, I was given Monopoly. So I was I think that he just probably thought I was going to become this little property developer or something like that. But I think it was just something because I was around it so much. And a lot of my family are in the industry. They're not necessarily developers, but they're in property. I was just around it so much, and I just really just loved it. And I guess you can invest in anything really as long as you understand it. And my thing that I love is property, and that's my passion. And I guess because I was around it so at such a young age. And I learnt through playing Monopoly, actually, I really learnt how building up from, you know, the different from your houses to your hotels and all of that. I was like, oh, this isn't too bad. And I thought, this is actually fun. So I guess it was from that, and it was from quite a young age. And I've got an interest in other asset classes, but I don't know them. And so if I wanted to look at something else, I'd just find a professional to do that for me, because I just don't understand it and it's not my passion. So, yeah, that's where it sort of came from.
Well, tell us a bit more about Allura then. What does Allura do, and what makes Allura stand out from all the other businesses in the same sort of line of work?
So Allura is a project management service. So it offers project management services, and it offers it to predominantly boutique developments. So in the 5 townhouse to 50 townhouse sort of range. So the medium density sort of size in Australia. And what we do that's different, there's a couple of things. So my background initially was development, and I've always been I've been a project manager for corporates for a very long time, and then I branched out and did my own thing. But I think what makes me different and how our company operates differently is that because my background's development, it's not like I'm not just a consultant. I understand all the implications that come with a development, and I have worn every hat out there as a developer, from an accountant to, you know, a site acquisition person, to negotiating with neighbours, to talking to council, to turning up to council and talking to town planners behind the counter. So doing that extra, going that extra mile. So I feel like that's what makes us different. And then the other thing is, because I've done a bit of interior design work as well, and I have got a structural engineering degree, although I feel like I'm not a very good structural engineer, because I'm probably a bit more creative than more engineering focused. But I think what makes the other aspect is we just add the little things in that a lot of, you know, you can get a set of plans, say, for instance, from an architect, and we look at it holistically, and we look at everything holistically, like not just from how much it's going to cost, but the movement of, you know, like in a floor plate, you want to make sure, your kitchen flows effectively. And sometimes some architects are pretty good at it, but because we know how to build and we understand it end to end, we know what's important to a buyer. We add that extra touch. So we know, for instance, kitchens are really important. So we go a little bit above and beyond. It doesn't matter what area we're building in, but we just make sure we put in a bit extra for kitchens in particular, and bathrooms, because they're the areas that people are really, that are really important to families. So we look at little things like that, and we just add that little touch that maybe a bigger project management or property development company just don't have the time or the budget to do. For us, it's like the small things that people probably don't even know about, to be honest. So hope that's answered the question.
No, you did, absolutely. I'm wondering, just as you're telling us more about Allura, a thought that come to my mind is, how would you describe your company culture?
It's building beautiful homes for people. And like a lot of our, like we do two markets, we do really high end expensive areas, and then we do a lot of first home buyer product as well. And we just want people to walk into their home and just be like, this is amazing. And I think it's like Allura came from the word alluring. And so we just wanted to add that aspect to it, I guess, in our product. And that's the vision of the company, and that's what, you know, it's meticulous, like we're very meticulous with the detail in the detail of both the design and the build process.
What would you say were the initial challenges you faced when you started Allura, and how did you overcome them?
I found it initially, I've worked in a lot of male-dominated companies, and but they were very big. So I felt like I was sort of protected when I was working for some of those bigger firms. As a business owner and founder of a company that works in predominantly, especially in the construction phase, I found it quite hard because people sometimes try to rip you off or take advantage of your good nature. I had a few bad experiences with builders, and I think it's just taken experience to understand how to speak to them, how to deal with them. Look, not all of them are bad as well. I went through a phase where I just thought all tradies and builders were just out there to get you. And I've just developed my team now of people that I just regularly go back to and work with, and that's taken me a while to develop. But it's sort of why I wrote my book as well, because I did find it challenging. And I still sometimes find it challenging being a female, like the only female on site, and there could be like 10 to 15 men. And sometimes I'm trying to tell them to do it, and I'm sort of the person that's like I'm the client, and they're not listening to me. That gets challenging, but, you know, you get tougher as well. But, you know, I also am not someone that's aggressive, so you have to be able to convince someone purely with logic. Like, you can't use emotion and that sort of stuff. And it's hard because, you know, I'm also female, so you sometimes get emotional, but it's not just a female thing. Anyone gets emotional. But I've just found that I need to have facts behind me, and that's what's really helped me, and stepping away from a bad situation and thinking it through and thinking through how to respond to a bad situation is sort of how I've played it, and how I sort of tell anyone that I'm working with to address a situation that's not going well. But look, it's gotten better, and I think there's a lot of encouragement of women in our industry now, which is really good. And that's exactly why I wrote my book, so that I can work with more women in the industry. So that would be really great as well. So
I guess in many respects, you are something of a pioneer, because as you said earlier, the property world is male dominated, and it's difficult to find women in senior positions of authority in a property investment company. Do you think that that's likely to change anytime soon? And if it is, what should we be doing to encourage or accelerate that change?
I do see it changing in the larger companies. I don't see it as much in the medium-sized companies, which is what I work with. And I think that I'm in the process of I had a university student reach out to me, and I was really excited. It was female as well. She was female, and so I'm going to have a chat to her. But I think we should be actively looking at, with the grad programs, look at doing grad programs with you know, universities, and encouraging women, and even at university level, like having some of the more technical courses like engineering, IT, going to the schools, the girls' schools, and speaking to them about these industries, because they're really good industries to be in. And I think that women are excellent project managers. The ones I've worked with, they're very good project managers, and look, men are just as good. But I'm just saying that the numbers are just not there, and I think it's a lot to do with the fact that construction is very male dominated. So I think encouraging, you know, even just from a perspective of, you know, university, getting them to go in and talk to girls during at school, and then actively also I want to do grad programs myself, and looking out for your female client candidates as well, so, and giving them a go. I think that's really important.
I'm wondering what role women should be playing now, women who already are in the property industry should be playing, because I'd imagine that women like you could or should act as role models to encourage young girls to consider property and construction as a viable career option.
I think we should. I haven't really, now that you're sort of asking me about it, like, if if, you know, if a school were to ask me to come and talk to their girls about, you know, getting into the engineer, like structural engineering, I remember when I was there, there was five probably that amongst a class of 200. I'm guessing the stats would have improved slightly, but I'd believe they wouldn't be much more than that. I think they'd still be under 10. And it's a very good career path. Like, you know, there are a lot of women that, you know, and I think it is because we just aren't really taught it from a young age, like that it's something that's, you know, a female could sit there and build a, you know, a building or a high rise or design one. So it's just sort of about a mindset shift, isn't it, really? And I'd be happy to do that. I don't really know what avenue or how I could do it, but I'd love to be a role model. Like, you know, one of the things I think what I've done in the past is I've contacted women in the industry and just said, you know, can I, could you be my mentor for a month and I call you once a week and just chat to you about issues I've faced? And I did that for, especially when I started, I did that with a development manager in a big construction company. And I just talked to her about some of the issues I was facing and it was really good. And I used, you know, I talked to her for about a month and we sort of became friends after that. And just something like that, it's so important because it is a hard industry to be in as a woman. And, you know, you have to build yourself up at times because there are challenging times where you'll feel like, you know, it's us against them. And it's not like that. It's just about knowing how to handle the situation.
Do you know what? I think I've had an epiphany. No, this is great. This is the best idea I've had all day. I see us getting together, right, and putting together a series of interviews on the Naked Property Investor titled The Naked Property Investor, Women in Property. And we could showcase individual outstanding women who actually work in the property industry at the moment and talk to them about their lives and their careers. What do you reckon?
That sounds amazing. And I know of like, I know in the UK of two or three that are really doing well. And I feel that in Australia, we're a little bit behind it. Like we just haven't. So it'd be really good to have a mixture of, you know, different countries because I think you would see encouragement because I just find in Australia we just haven't – we're not – like I'm seeing a lot more of female sort of leaders in the construction industry there. And if we can get encouragement from some of them as well in Australia, it would really help, I think. So, yeah, I think it's a great idea. I'd be well up for it.
Fantastic. Well, this is history in the making. And during the course of our conversation, we've just decided we're going to create a brand new series of interviews on the Naked Property Investor. And we're going to look at showcasing and spotlighting extraordinary and outstanding property investment professionals who are also women to encourage more women to enter the industry. Let's do it, shall we?
Yeah, sounds awesome. I'd love to.
Excellent. Okay. All right. Well, that's going to be something we're going to talk about after the show. But the purpose of this series of interviews is to help listeners understand both the mechanics and the psychology of successful property investment. Now, Kavita, based on your considerable experience in property investment, what would you say are the most important criteria for becoming a successful property investor? How do you have to think? What do you have to do?
I think you have to be really flexible with your, maybe not flexible, open-minded. Like there is a sequence. So there's always a sequence of events. But because you're dealing with things that are outside of your control often, you have to be able to change direction and think on your feet. And so it can be quite high stress. So especially initially because some of the decisions involve a lot of money and sometimes you're on the ground and you have to make these decisions. When I say on the ground, you might be on site and you're asked to make a decision that's important. So I think that like I think what you need to be able to do is always like I'm someone I get really quite stressed out if someone may ask me to make a decision on the spot, especially if it's there's a financial implication. So even though you have to be flexible and strong in character, there is no reason why you can't take that decision away and really think about it and come back in 24 hours. There's nothing usually that you can't do a bit of research and then come back and give a response. So, or take it away for a few hours and not have to do that. So that's something I've sort of learnt to do. The other feature is that, like, I think that as an investor, you need to be really resourceful. Like, I don't have every answer about a situation, and I'm not, you know, in the end-to-end of a project life cycle, I don't know every single detail of every single component of a project. So I think it's important that you can call on your team or call on anyone you need to if you're in a situation where you're stuck. And what I've seen, and I think that's why women are really good at it, because they're more likely to do that and call on when they're stuck about something or need help with something, they will call on their team or they will get resourceful and find help. So being resourceful is another one. And then I think that as an investor and as a developer, one of the other thing is resilience, because you're going to get knockbacks. Things are not always going to go to plan. And I think you just have to pick up the pieces every day, and whether they're good or bad, and just get on with it. And you're focus on the end game. And, you know, councils can be frustrating here. Contractors or builders sometimes can be frustrating to work with. You know, sometimes your team lets you down, and it's just about learning the best way to motivate people and keep moving, and motivating yourself to keep moving forward and focusing on the end goal. So they're probably the biggest traits for myself that I found that helped me and have helped me through my journey. And you're always going to have personal things that come up alongside of all of this, because that's life. And I think that what's helped is I just have to kind of keep my work and my personal life separate and just focus on work when I'm at work, and then have and keep that at work and not bring it home as well. And that's been really important for me as well, not to bring my stresses home once I'm done with stuff that's going on in my projects.
Right. Sorry. No, don't mind me. I'm just taking notes as you're speaking. So I've got here then that my friend Kavita says, if you want to be a successful property investor, you've got to be open-minded. You've got to be able to change direction and think on your feet. You've got to think things through, do your research. Yes. You've got to be resourceful, call on your team and find help. And also you've got to be resilient, focus on the end game and motivate yourself. Does that kind of sum it up?
That's a great summary of something that took me a very long time to say.
No, that's fantastic. I think that's going to help a lot of people. I'm talking about helping a lot of people. At the moment, a lot of property investors are struggling to adapt to the uncertainty created by the pandemic. What advice would you offer real estate investors at this time?
Look, this is my own belief and my own opinion. I'm talking about Australia here, and like we got news last week that, you know, prices were going to come off 30%, and so a lot of my friends that are not in the industry are like, what are you going to do? Are you going to like fire sell your stuff and all of that sort of stuff? But I don't know about it so much in the other parts of the world, and but I'm just talking about what I see here. I think that you have to just, and look, you're going to, I live through the GFC as well, and you always, there's a property clock. So you've got your buying and selling times. And if you can hold on to what you've got at the moment without putting it out there to sell, I'm still going to put stuff on the market to sell. But the thing is, I'm not going to fire sell. So I've got a long duration where I can sell this stuff for like a year off the plan I've got. So I'm not too worried. But for people that worry their prices are going to drop and they want to now get out and they're giving themselves 3 months, I have concerns for people in that situation, because you're sort of doing it out of desperation versus, you know, you've got the time, you can wait for the right price. I understand also that people are concerned about the drop of the property market, but in the experience of, you know, every recession, GFC or equivalent, they do come back in, you know, a couple of years. You know, GFC might have been a bit longer, but it still came back. But during these periods are also excellent buying times. So we're actually looking for a lot of clients to try and help them acquire sites. And we're looking at some good properties, and buyers are a bit more motivated to sell. They're not necessarily, we're not finding that they're heavily discounting things. So if I look at my day-to-day dealings with on the property market, I'm not seeing this. I'm not even seeing a 10% drop. So it could be later, but I would just be I'd be careful and cautious. But if you're looking to buy, I would definitely look at buying, as long as you just have to keep in mind that banks might be a bit stricter with what they're lending at the moment. Some aren't even doing new business. In terms of if you want to sell right now, unless there's a real necessity that you need to do it, or you've got a long period of time that you can sell something in, I personally wouldn't do it right now, only because of the sentiments that are in the market. But look, this is my opinion of what I see in probably a small pool of what's out there in the rest of Australia and the rest of the world. But I don't know, Kizzy, if that really answers your questions, but that's my opinion on, like, during, you know, this COVID period, what we're doing and what we see sort of that the market is heading to. But I personally can't see a massive drop in, like, of 30% in our market. But, I mean, I'm not an economist either, so I don't know. Yeah.
Very powerful. Yep. Really, really good. I think that's going to help a lot of people, because you can't predict what's going to happen around the corner, but you can try and prepare as best as you can. Now, a flashing light on my screen reminds me that we've now come to the section of the show called the 30-second masterclass. Now, what this means is that you'll have 30 seconds to sum up the most important lessons our listeners should take away from our conversation. Are you game?
Yeah, sure.
You've just got 30 seconds just to remind people of the most important things that they should bear in mind from our conversation. So what do you think that people should take away from our conversation today?
I think that you should have a look at your situation and have a look at, have you got the systems in place for yourself if something were to go wrong tomorrow? Whatever that means to you and your personal situation. I think that if you are interested in investing in developing and you're concerned about the current situation, that you actually talk to people that are on the ground and doing day-to-day transactions as opposed to listening to only the media. And look, I think in terms of becoming a property investor and developer, I've sort of talked about the traits required. I've explained my journey. And I think that, look, anyone can do it. It just sort of takes time and it takes being patient. And as long as you've got sort of those traits, or you can develop those traits, it's something anyone can do, and just believe in yourself. And I'm, as I've said before, I'm a real advocate for women getting into this industry and having their own financial independence and being able to have their own financial journey. So, you know, women can do it too. So I think that we all should really encourage women that are wanting to get into that industry. And if you're in that industry and you see women out there, like, that are trying to make a go of it, really encouraging them as well would be something I'd encourage all of you to do.
Fantastic. I think you've summed it up like an absolute pro. Brilliant. Thank you so much.
That's all right.
I get the feeling that this conversation could go on for a good few hours, but unfortunately we've run down the clock. But I do have time to say it's been an amazing experience sharing this time with you, Kavita. And I want to thank you so much for sharing your insight and your wisdom on The Naked Property Investor.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I really enjoyed it as well.
Well, my conversation with Kavita is a great reminder that you should never view your challenges as a disadvantage. Instead, it's important for you to understand that your experience facing and overcoming adversity is actually one of your biggest advantages. And when it comes to helping others, one of the great ironies of life is this: he or she who serves almost always benefits more than he or she who is served. This is a lesson that successful property investors like Evita are teaching us every single day. See you next week.